biblical boundaries, burnout, and loving people well. Yep, we're going there today with Courtney Berg. Courtney is an author and founder of Discover Your Worth, an online membership designed to support women with practical tools to break free from codependency while establishing a healthy boundary practice. She's a mom of four in the thick of motherhood, just like you and I, and she's here to talk with us about how setting boundaries is how we love people well and reflect the way that God loves us. This conversation is full of so much truth, and Courtney approaches this hard topic with love, grace, and wisdom, and I know you're going to walk away better because of her, so I hope you enjoy this episode of the Joy-Filled Podcast. Hey mama, I'm Jenna, and you're listening to the Joy-Filled Podcast. I'm here to help stay-at-home moms thrive by equipping you with tools to help you acknowledge and embrace your season and encourage you to bring joy back into your motherhood. You'll walk away with everything you need to truly experience the fullness of joy in this beautiful season of raising babies at home. So reheat or refill wherever you're at in your day, your coffee, and let's live joy-filled together. Courtney, thank you so much for coming on the Joy-Filled Podcast today and for just taking time out of your day to share with us and to chat with me. I am so thankful, and it is such a joy to get to sit down and talk with you today.
Thank you. It's always so nice to chat about my favorite things.
Yes, absolutely. Speaking of favorite things, tell us a little bit about you. What do we need to know? Who is Courtney? What are her favorite things? tell us a little bit about you.
Yeah. So I'm married to my best friend. We've been married almost 10 years now. We live in South Florida. We have four kids. So I have an 8-year-old, a 6-year-old, and then twin 3-year-olds. And so I was doing the morning hustle this morning, as most moms know. Everybody wakes up hungry and cranky typically, but it is a joy. That is one of my favorite things right now. And I'm actually back in school as well, which is a lot of fun. I'm in a cohort at Wheaton College, and so we're studying the Old Testament, which is incredible. Just such a gift. And so that's kind of, those are the hats I have.
That's awesome.
That I'm wearing.
Yeah. I love that. I was also doing the morning scramble as well this morning. And it's funny that you mentioned that, because I'm sure a large portion of the listener listening to this episode right now is listening while she's doing that morning scramble. I hear from so many women that they're listening while they're taking their kids on a walk, or listening while they're dropping their kids off at school. And so if you're in the morning scramble too, hi, we're in it with you. We're right there, right alongside you. You have an amazing online ministry, Discover Your Worth. I would love to hear more about that. What is it? How did it come about? Just give us all the nitty gritty, because I love to hear kind of like the unseen and back end story, because we see the big, beautiful finished product, but I would just love to know. How did it all come about? Tell us about it.
Yeah, so my undergrad is actually in psychology, and that's when I really first learned about and fell in love with just patterns of behavior. Mm-hmm. And as a Christian, you know, it seemed like the science and the spiritual were always so separated for me. I grew up Catholic, and so I just never learned about any of you know, how we cope and how we manage and how we show up in relationships. And so for me, that undergrad degree was really helpful because I began unpacking some of that. Mm-hmm. And I began working one-on-one with women who are learning to set boundaries in their life and trying to figure out who they are in their relationships. And like I said, I have four kids, and the twins came to us 3 years ago. And so life had really shifted. And I thought, well, how can I make this accessible for women where I'm not doing one-on-one, but they can, as you said, I mean, I get pictures of women listening to my courses and my master classes, like they're nursing a baby, or they're like doing laundry and there's kids like sitting. And that's where we're at. You know, you have to go where people are at and where they can access it, you know, at their ease. And so it's been about 2.5 years now that the membership's been live, and it's really been a gift for me to walk with women who are potentially the first in their family or maybe in their friendship circle that are trying to set boundaries and navigating what that looks like. And so I provide just a safe space for them to do that. And I'm able to do email support with them, which is really a lot of, I don't want to say fun, but, you know, I'm able to, you know, because typically when you produce content, you know, you send it out and you never hear anything from it. Maybe every once in a while, a little bit of a feedback, but mm-hmm. this is really great because I get to walk with them and hear about their journeys and hear about, you know, these relationships that are being restored because they're learning how to set boundaries in their life. So it is one of my favorite things as well.
That's really amazing. So it's an online membership. When people are going through your courses, what are they getting? What is the takeaway as sure. they're going through these courses?
So my first course that I ever put on there was my boundaries course. And that was, you know, what are boundaries? Why do we need boundaries? How do I set boundaries? How do I maintain boundaries? Can boundaries change? Mm-hmm. You know, all the things that, again, I was learning over the last 10 years and I was just keeping track of it all. And there's a lot of science in it and research and book recommendations. But so it's video modules. And so that was my first course. But then I realized the women that struggle with setting boundaries are typically struggling with codependency, which is why I created a Heal from Codependency course. Why do we cope with this pattern of behavior? What is it? Where does it come from? And so that kind of, you know, deals with that. And then from that, I started realizing that a lot of women have difficulty in the relationship with their mother. And so I have a daughter's rising course, you know, just breaking patterns of behavior that maybe you inherited from your early caregivers so that you can be the best wife and mom that God is calling you to be. And so that was, you know, they kind of each work. I don't say you have to start with one, you know, mm-hmm. you can start anywhere. One, usually you come into my membership because one of them speaks to you or there's a pressing thing right now. And then my most recent course is called my stewardship course. So now I'm healing from codependency. I'm setting boundaries in my life. How do I actually manage the resources, whether it's financial, you know, spiritual, emotional capacities in a way that honors God? And so I will mention that, the majority of my courses are rooted in scripture. However, mm-hmm. I have a lot of non-believers in there. So, you know, I love that because I think that stewardship is for anybody. I think healing mm-hmm. from codependency is from anybody.
Yeah.
And so I have, you know, I have Muslims in my course that are like just learning how to show up in their relationships. Mm-hmm. I have all different backgrounds and walks of life that are just like longing to be the best that they can be. And so those are the four courses. And then each month I offer a masterclass that usually you know, piggybacks on one of those courses and dives deeper into something. With the holidays coming up, I don't know when this is going to air, but, you know, we're obviously talking a lot about holidays and what that mm-hmm. looks like and how to navigate that from a place of peace and mm-hmm. confidence.
Yeah, I love that. And one thing I've noticed as a content creator is for myself, a lot of times the content that I'm creating is what I need or have needed. Is that true for you? Do you have a very personal tie to a lot of this content that you're creating?
Oh, yeah.
Something that you've had to walk through yourself?
Absolutely. I, on the landing page of the membership, it's exactly that. I wanted something like this and I couldn't find it. And so I created it. And I created it from a place of being, you know, newly married and then having my first child. And so I've been in that season that a lot of women are like, oh my gosh, I'm a mom now for the first time. And I'm realizing that I don't want to parent like I was parented mm-hmm. or I'm navigating grandparents and in-laws and things change yeah. when we start adding in spouses and children and different values and philosophies. And so how do I manage myself in this without losing myself? And so, yeah, there's definitely a personal, you know, imprint there. And I'm really proud of how it's kind of been packaged and it seems to be received well by the women that are in it.
I love that you are creating this kind of, these kinds of content and resources for women, because it is something that we do need to tackle and face, and it can be really tricky to navigate as a Christian. Like, how does this how can I navigate boundaries and, you know, protecting my peace while still loving people and all that. So I just love, as I was preparing to sit down with you, I was, you know, looking through your Instagram and looking through all of your stuff. And I was just like, oh my gosh, this is what I needed 5 years ago when I had my first baby. Like, this is all the stuff that I needed and that I still need. And so I'm just super grateful for the work that you're doing. And speaking of work that you're doing, you have a new labor of love, a new book that is
my new baby.
Out. Yes. Loyal to a Fault. Tell us about your book. Give us all the details on it.
Yes. Yeah, so that is my new baby. She, I don't know. I guess it's a girl. I have three girls, so I'm just going with that. Yeah. I think it's a girl. I have three girls and a boy, so why not add another girl?
Yeah.
she is due December 12th. And so, this book was one that God placed on my heart many years ago. Actually, in 2019, I had kind of announced that I'm writing this book because it was just burning in me. I was in the shower thinking about it. I was driving thinking about it. And I was like, okay, God, I'm going to write this book. I don't know where to start. I don't know how to write a book, but I'm going to do it. And it really does come from my own personal experiences on what it looks like to be a loving, serving Christian woman in a world where I found myself being taken advantage of and growing more bitter and resentful. And I didn't know how to handle that tension of, okay, how do I remain loyal and loving to the people I care about the most while also stepping out in who God has called me to be? And through that, I've really turned to the Bible. And I'm like, okay, if God created these relationships for me, then why are they sucking the life out of me?
Yeah.
Something is going wrong here, you know? And if we're made in his image and my relationships are reflecting more of hell than heaven, then something is wrong.
Right.
And I need to start like digging this up. And again, I was working with women, and the more women that, you know, in these Christian circles that I were talking to, they were like, I love them. I'm serving them. I want to be the hands and feet of Christ, but I'm losing myself and I'm like mad at them for it. Like something's wrong. And so this book is really bringing language to, you know, codependency. What does God actually have designed for us in our relationships? You know, what do boundaries look like? Am I allowed to say certain things? Am I allowed to become less tolerant to certain things? And so the book really has, you know, practical tips. It talks about the power of, you know, your influence and your impact, you know, the legacy that you're hoping to write that honors God, something that you can be proud of. And yeah, so it is my baby. It is a labor of love. And I'm really thrilled with how it turned out and how God has let me be a part of it.
I am so excited to read it and am so looking forward to just gleaning all the wisdom that I can from you. Because I think that we all, especially, you know, like you said, as Christian women, we all have this struggle between how do I love people and serve people and have that, you know, servant-hearted kind of that Proverbs 31-esque idea of who we think a Christian woman is. And then there's this reality of, this is not bringing any life to me. This is not, like, this is draining me. Like, this is not how relationships should be. And so I love what you're doing and the work that you're doing. And I love the message of this book. And I am so excited for the way that it's going to just kind of bring those worlds together and bring some truth, bring a lot of truth into that ideology that a lot of us have. One thing that I've heard you say is that setting boundaries is loving people well. And I just love that. And I love that line. And I feel like that's something that we all just need to like write on a sticky note and keep it everywhere where we can see it. Can you dive deeper on what that means, this idea that we love people by setting boundaries with people?
We do. And again, this goes back to what I was, you know, when I was first like researching this, I'm like, okay, what does the Bible say? Where are there boundaries prevalent in scripture? Because mm-hmm. if the scripture is the way, the truth, and the life, then I want to go there first to see how I'm supposed to show up in these relationships. And what I discovered was that, you know, we see from the beginning God's design that it was both partnered with love and limits. And we see it throughout the Old Testament. We hear about it with Jesus in the New Testament. And everywhere that there's love, there are limits, there are parameters, there's commandments, you know, there's a covenant. And mm-hmm. and what happens is when we go outside of these limits, we see pain, we see destruction. And so I really had to have a paradigm shift in, you know, what God says about my relationships and challenge what the world says, meaning the world will tell you, especially women, and especially Christian women, that you need to sacrifice yourself. It might not be that direct, but we are getting messages right. constantly, yeah. lay down your life for your brother, you know, like, mm-hmm. what does that mean? Why are we like taking this out of context, you know? And so, you know, when we don't love, when we love others and we don't have limits, we don't have boundaries, we really do see that destruction, just like in the Bible, played out. And we begin to get spread thin. We start to bark orders at people and we blame others for taking from us, but we're freely giving over and over and over. And so our love does not reveal any sort of love. And so it really is a spiritual discipline to set boundaries and to allow God in our relationships and to allow mm-hmm. him to do only what he can do. And again, working with women, I've found, and myself included, it's in my story of, you know, learning to set boundaries, is I wanted to be that person's Messiah. Like I mm-hmm. wanted to fix them. I wanted to heal them. I wanted to help them because they needed me and I needed them to need me, you know? And so this dysfunctional cycle just continued. And so the work of setting boundaries for me, and I, you know, I share stories in the book, was really getting out of God's way, getting out of God's way. And the more that I'm about 10 years into this, and it's, you know, it's gotten easier. It's not perfect by any means, but I realize sometimes that in my most difficult relationships, God sometimes asks me to be his hands and feet in that relationship by sitting on my own hands. And pausing and taking a step back and letting people that I love dearly feel the consequence of their own behavior. And that is love. And again, we see it in scripture that love doesn't always come in like a little pretty wrapped bow that we think it is, that Hallmark sells us it is. You know, sometimes love is uncomfortable and it grows us and stretches us. And so I think as Christians, you know, we have to understand that boundaries are from God for our provision and protection, and we can also model that in our relationships.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing you say is kind of that the more that we experience and learn what love truly is and what God's love truly is, kind of the easier it is for us to set boundaries with people, because like you said, love has its limits and parameters, and that's the way that God loves us too. Like when we step out of alignment, God has given us a boundary, and he's given us a boundary for how we can live, and it's up to us.
Totally.
We have free will, but you know, when we step out of alignment, like you said, there is pain and there are consequences to that. And if we are to reflect his love and be his hands and feet, then we are also to set those boundaries with people. And I think even just that right there is really life-changing for some women who have had a hard time grasping this concept in a way that honors God, because we don't want to just take what the world says about setting boundaries, because that message can be too far to one side too, like just cut people off. If they're not Absolutely. Serving you, cut them off. And that's also not, that's not it either.
No, it's not. And you have to really walk in that spirit, be mm-hmm. filled with the spirit and walk in the spirit and commune with God in your relationships and say, mm-hmm. okay, where do you want me to go with this? How far do you want me to go with this, Lord? Where are you at in this? And what you said, really looking at love from an eternal perspective. And so I love my children, as you do, and your listeners do. And we see that we know what's best for them. We have like this broader view of what's best mm-hmm. for their life. And so when they want that third or fourth cookie, we can see that later on, that's not going to be, you know, what's best for them. And so right. we can firmly say no to that cookie because we know how this ends. And I think that that's what God does for us. You know, he says, no, no, no. And you might not be able to see what will happen with that, but I'm not going to let you do that right now. And, you know, in our relationships, again, growing less tolerant to unhealthy patterns, you know, mm-hmm. that little kid might not like it. You know, that person in your relationship might not like it, but you can say, okay, I'm working towards the long game in this relationship, what this can, that has the potential to become, even if there's a fit thrown right now. You know, I want to call out, you know, that what is the best in you. Mm-hmm. Because when we grow each other, that's how we're honoring God in that way. And so it really is it's a spiritual discipline. It's not easy and it's definitely not rewarded in society. But you know, we're set to be, you know, we're called apart. We're set apart for a reason. And so I really do. I have found though that if we remain steadfast and looking to scripture for how we're meant to be in our relationships, he does bless us mm-hmm. once we get past that discomfort of the new habits.
I think that one thing that when the topic of boundaries comes up, one thing that I tend to feel, and I'm sure is common, is like if I set boundaries, it's going to harm the relationship, or it's going to hurt the relationship, or it's going to cause a rift in the relationship. So I'm curious to know, have you ever experienced a time where you set boundaries and it actually strengthened the relationship and did the opposite of kind of what we're all fearing?
I have. And I write about it in the book. And there's a part in the book where I talk about safe people. And you're going to find that the more you do this work of setting boundaries, healing from codependency, you know, being assertive in your language, and just really being honest about what you need and what you're able to give in your relationships, you're going to actually start noticing other people behaving in similar ways, people that you probably didn't notice before. God will bring you new people, or you're going to start to see people and they're playing by the same set of rules as you. And so you will find that, that when you set boundaries with those people, they're like, oh my gosh, they applaud it because they know A, how hard it is to set, B, that you're actually bidding for connection and love with them. Okay, you're wanting to grow the relationship. Mm-hmm. Now, there are also times where people may surprise you. Your mother-in-law, who you're like, she is never going to go for this. She may actually go, hey, thank you. You know, she might not verbally say that, but she might say, you know, thanks, because now I know why you're acting so rude to me when I come over for Sunday spaghetti or whatever. Yeah. You know, and we're giving everybody an opportunity to show up in this relationship. But it starts with that honest conversation with ourselves about like, what are my limits? What do I need in this relationship? What am I no longer dealing with in this relationship? And giving it an opportunity, because here's the deal. If you've done a certain thing for a long time and it's caused you pain, right? Or discomfort, mm-hmm. or you're just not this difficult relationship that you're just like, oh, is this all God has for me in this? Why not just try something else? Because you can always revert back to the way that you've done things. And so why not try something new and see what comes out of that? You know, it might be uncomfortable at first, but there's something really great that could come from it too.
Yeah, that's really, I love that. I am sitting here thinking, as I always do when I sit down to record podcast episodes, thinking about the listener, who the majority of the listeners of this podcast are kind of in the thick of motherhood like we are. You know, we've got young kids. Usually, I think probably 95% have kids under 10, and a large majority in like those baby years, and which can be really a really, really hard time to set boundaries and to take care of ourselves and to not think of ourselves first in a selfish way, but to take care of ourselves and prioritize ourselves. And it's such a giving season of life. And it is just that, a season. But do you have any kind of specific advice for the woman in that season of life when it comes to setting boundaries, whether it's in the home, setting boundaries for, you know, I need my time, setting boundaries with kind of with your spouse to say, how do we communicate clearly so that we're all taken care of? Do you have any specific advice for this stage of life?
I do. And I'm thinking back from when I first became a mom to now I've done it 2, 3, mm-hmm. 4 times, and how that has evolved and God yes. has really grown me.
Yes.
And, you know, obviously I could go back to the first time I was a mom and change so much, but I just yeah, didn't absolutely. Know. You only know yeah. so much. Right. And so I would like to think that we're all typically running from our best self at the way we can, the way we know how. And I think for the mom out there that's like in the thick of it and she's like, where do I even start? Like, I haven't even brushed my teeth. I can't go to the bathroom by myself. I barely sit down to eat. Like, boundaries just sound like ridiculous.
Right.
And I've been there. And right. I do think there's some seasons where we just have to ride it out mm-hmm. and really just hunker down in the mundane, cleaning up the crumbs off the floor. Oh, the baby needs to nurse or, you know, be fed again. Mm-hmm. And just trusting God that He's growing you and sharpening you in that mm-hmm. season. And that, man, we are sanctified so yes. deeply in the yeah. early years.
Yeah.
And that there will be a time where then you can go, okay, how do I set boundaries in this? But the first is probably like get yourself something good to eat and sit down mm-hmm. and take a break, you know? But, you know, as we get a little deeper, if we look at the circle and the sphere and we get outside of the home a little bit, you might be able to, as you said, talk with your partner about, most of the women I work with struggle with like mother-in-laws or like outside mm-hmm. family and like people talking about how you're choosing to parent, really getting in alignment with your partner on that. And, you know, feeling, Dr. Cloud says, he wrote the book Boundaries, and he says, go hard on the problem, easy on the person. Mm. And I think when we step back and we look at problems in our relationships as not the person, but the problem, the mm-hmm. problem is the problem. Yeah. And so we go hard on the problem and we look at what is, you know, what is the unmet need that I have right now? What is, do I need to sleep? Do, I mean, a weary woman is a vulnerable woman. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, I mean, again, I was reading, I think it was in Elijah, about, you know, he's on the mountain, he's running and he's afraid. And, you know, the Lord of the, you know, the angel of the Lord came upon him and fed him and told him to rest. And I'm like, okay, a major prophet is what? Okay. So like what happens is, and for myself included, is my brain will make a situation bigger when I'm tired or I'm hungry.
Right.
And it's something my mom used to tell me as a kid, and I actually tell my daughters it now. You'll feel better in the morning. Let's just get mm-hmm. some rest. And it's not yeah. to say you go to bed angry or with like unresolved, you know, tension in your heart, but it's just to know that like, let me get a little rest mm-hmm. and know that this is going to not look so big in the morning. And mm-hmm. I just remember being in that early parenting going, it feels like the walls are caving in on me.
Yeah.
And if I can just get up and brush my teeth and go for a walk with the baby and get a meal in, I'm winning today.
Yeah.
That's enough yeah. for the Lord today. Yep. You yep. know? And extending ourselves grace in those mm-hmm. moments. I don't think I answered your question at all.
No, you did. You really did. Because I'm like, everything you said, I can visualize myself in those moments. And I've talked so many times on here about like, just brush your teeth, just eat a meal. Like, yeah. so I love that you said those specific things because they really are pivotal. And I can speak from, you know, my first postpartum experience where I didn't do those things and, you know, it night and day. And so I also loved what you said about just it'll feel better in the morning. I'm like, I hear people say like, don't go to bed with unresolved things or don't go to bed without hashing it out. I'm like, no, I need to sleep on this because I know this will not yes. be an issue in the morning. And I'll be like, yes. never mind. I'm sorry. It was all me.
Yeah. Sometimes we just have to put a pin in it, you know? And I think that yeah, that scripture
just table this. Makes,
yeah. I think that scripture makes sense in regards to like, you know, lack of forgiveness or holding on to anger or a grudge. But sometimes we allow our emotions to dictate what we say and do. And sleeping on something just lets all those emotions just kind of fizzle down, and you can really get to the root of what is really bothering you. And it saves everybody so much time and energy. And so maybe a boundary is in that too. And I've gotten better, is just like, honey, I'm just hungry. I need to sit down. Like, I get shaky when I need to eat. And I'm like, I can feel the hanger coming out. And I'm like, I need to eat something. And he'll, you know, he'll put something together. Like, when the, cause you know, the kids want mama. And then you're giving of yourself. And so somebody needs to be given to mama. And I've been able to speak up to my husband and say, hey, you need to put together a sandwich for me. I'm starving, you know, cause these kids are screaming at me. And so, yeah, it's a process for sure.
Yeah. I want to point out something that you said right there that I think is hard for a lot of women and a lot of mothers in this season. And it's that if you have an unmet need and you need somebody to meet your need, they cannot read your mind, and you need to say your need. And it is not putting a burden on them. Like, your husband, your spouse, you guys are a team. And that he can't read your mind. And if you have an unmet need, you need to say your need. And it's not burdensome to say your need. And that's one thing that I've learned. And I've had friends ask me, like, hey, how do you, like, get time, you know, in the evening to do stuff? And I'm like, does he just know? And I'm like, no, he doesn't know. I just ask. I unapologetically ask. I say, it's been a long day. After I get dinner cleaned up, can I go take an hour to sit by myself before bedtime and put a face mask on and just be with myself for a little while? And he's like, absolutely, I got it covered, you know?
And we owe our relationships that, you know, we owe people an opportunity to love us. And like you said, they can't read your mind. And I think too, like, women think, oh, it's not a big deal, I'll be fine. And then they power through, and then that shows up later in like irritability with your kids and disrespect with your husband. And so we have to have that vulnerability to say, I can't do it all. I'm not meant to do it all. I need a break. I need to ask for help. And, you know, one of the things I'm grateful we learned in premarital counseling, actually, like, this old guy at church was like, okay, to my husband, Jim, the best thing you can ever ask her is, what is it you need? What can I do for you? What is it you need? And I'll also add that since we've been married, you know, almost 10 years, sometimes I need options. I'm like a kid. Like, I know I'm tired, but I don't know what that means. So just give me like two or three options, because now you're making me think about what I need. I know I need something. I don't know. So he's gotten good at, like, I'll make you dinner. What can I get for you? Need a snack? Or, like, I sound like a three-year-old. You need a snack? But I am. We're all like three-year-olds inside. But, you know, and so sometimes I'll say to him, hey, listen, I'm getting run down. I know I need something. I'm not sure what it is. And it might be, like you said, an hour to myself on Wednesday nights. It might be some food. It might be a foot rub. It might be, I need you to just, like, put the kids to bed tonight, because I just can't have them grabbing on me anymore. And it can change. I think giving ourselves permission for it to change all the time.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah. I think the other thing that's really, that I've learned to do, is it's okay for, because I think that, you know, you can be listening to this and thinking, well, you know, my husband works long hours and I'm by myself a lot. And so how do I take care of myself when it's just me? Or my husband's in the military, so I go months without any help. And while I can't speak specifically, because I've never experienced that, I can say that one thing that I've learned to do is, and learned to be okay with, is letting my kids see that I am not okay. And voicing that to them and saying, I love you and I hear you, but I need 5 minutes to make myself a snack. And I'm sitting to eat right now. I will be with you in just a moment. And that's powerful for them to hear.
So, like, powerful.
Mom is not super mom. She's not superwoman. She's not superhuman. Like, and I will tell them, I'm feeling overwhelmed right now. I'm feeling frustrated. So I'm going to take a minute. I'm going to go to the bathroom. I'm going to close the door. I'll be back in a few minutes, and then we can talk about this. And so voicing those needs to our children sets a powerful example of how to set boundaries and to take care of ourselves. And so that's something that I've learned and that I hear a lot. A question that I hear a lot is like, how do you not get burnt out, or how do you fight burnout? And when I think about it, I realize that, and maybe I haven't always put it in these words, but I realize that it's those small, small moments of setting little boundaries of just, hey, I'm taking a minute to make myself lunch. You go play or go read a book and I'll be with you in a minute. You know, those little moments throughout the day, taking those small moments to take care of yourself really does set you up. Because like you said, Courtney, earlier, it can feel like, you know, how it can feel like we're just like, I don't have time or I can't do that. But it's like, no, it is important because these small moments of setting boundaries really prevent that burnout and that exhaustion and that weariness that often comes with
motherhood. They do. I mean, something I'll share with you, something as simple as like when my kids come home and they throw their shoes in the hallway and like backpacks, or, you know, like for homeschoolers, you don't have backpacks being thrown. Like, but, you know, I was like, whoa, something has to change. And so I love what you said about these little moments in your day. I call them pain points. Okay. So mm-hmm. we all have a stress signature. So let's go like to the psychology side. We all have a stress signature. So we have fight or the flight. Mm-hmm. We want to shut down. And so for me, it was anger. That was like my trigger. That was my stress signature. For other people, it might be, I'm going to shut down. These kids can parent themselves. I'm going to go scroll social media and go in my room and just whatever, put on a show for them. We shut down. And so I love what you said about these little pain points in our day that, you know, I do need to be fed. I do need to. Mm-hmm. And then when we honor our boundaries, when we honor our own limits, others will learn to honor them. Mm-hmm. And like we said in the beginning of this episode, you know, a lot of us grew up in childhoods where we weren't modeled that. You know, a parent was like a martyr and they did everything us. And then now we owe them everything and we have all this guilt and shame. Or, you know, we were our parents' therapist and like they didn't have any healthy boundaries around what they shared with us. And we felt the burden of that. And so what a gift to give our children's not what they need in the moment, but what they need long term.
Yes.
Right. Like in the moment, they might need that little bit of attention or that little bit of thing. But long term, we can say, OK, press pause. Mm-hmm. I can actually hold the line here with them, knowing that I'm actually giving them a really huge gift.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'll say when I am holding the line with them, as you said, I am giving them a moment of attention. It's not brushing them off and saying, go away, I need to do this right now. It's, you know, getting onto your knees, getting on their level, putting their hands in your hands, giving them touch for a moment, giving them eye contact for a moment. Because really, a lot of times when our kids are nagging us or asking for something, what they're asking for is, I want your eye contact. Connection. I want your touch. I want your attention. I want your connection. And so I give them a moment of that and I say, hey, I love you and I hear you. Give me a few minutes. I'll even set it. Mm-hmm. In our home, our kitchen, our oven timer is my partner in crime. And I will say, I'm going to set a timer. I set a timer for everything. So I'm going to set a timer. Give me 5 minutes. When the timer goes off, I'm all yours. And so I'm like, there's a practical way to just set little boundaries throughout your day.
But the delayed gratification that you're instilling in them.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
That like what I want and need in that moment is important, mm-hmm. but it's not the only important thing.
Right, right.
You know, that I'm actually not the center of the world. And I think I'm not saying we don't respect kids and we don't allow them boundaries and feelings to be expressed and all that. But what a heavy burden to carry when a child is the center of the home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I have a whole section on parenting and triggers and how we had such a kid-centered family and how it was hurting us mm-hmm. for a while and how that was really hurting them too, you mm-hmm. know, in particular in my book because of that. And so I love what you said, that giving them that connection, but hey, you can wait a few minutes too.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like we could sit here for so long and just talk on this little section of how powerful it is to that delayed gratification, like you said, and, you know, in teaching them boundaries and all of that, we could sit here, I feel like, for an hour and talk all about this mm-hmm. because this is the kind of stuff that I love to learn about and love to kind of practice and test in my motherhood and in, at home with kids. I homeschool my kids, so we're together all the time. So I have lots of opportunity to kind of test out people at home. But I love that you mentioned parents and in-laws and all of that. And I feel like that's a good segue because I'd love to ask you, how do we create boundaries and realistic expectations with our family and with people that we can't walk away from and we're tied to a certain degree? How do we go about this? Because I think that this is the heaviest part of the boundary conversation.
Totally. It really is. Well, first of all, I want to just point out that I think there's a big difference between like a difficult relationship and a destructive one. So let's mm-hmm. just say, let's just keep it on a difficult relationship. Mm-hmm. You know, there's people in your life you love and you're trying to set boundaries with them because you want to be in relationship with them. You yeah. want to love them well. You want to be loved by them. And you're like something, you know, the fruit of this relationship is rotten. There's a lot mm-hmm. of confusion, anxiety. And that's when I typically tell women, like, that's how you know a boundary needs to be set, because if the fruit of this is not joy, peace, self-control, mm-hmm. patience, kindness, it's yucky. And so I think when we, it's not necessarily creating realistic expectations as much as it is altering them. And one of the things that I feel like is on repeat is when, you know, people show us who they are, we have to believe them. So going yeah. back to the brain and patterns of behavior and how does that relate to being a Christian? Well, I think sometimes Christians have this like hopeful expectancy, which we should have. We should always pray, intercede, hope for people to heal and change and to know the Lord and to walk in his light. We should always have that. But that's not the same as, you know, being permissive to destructive mm-hmm. behavior. Right. And so like we have to make sure that that's separate. And so accepting people exactly for who they are, not who we need them to be, not who we expect them to be. You know, I can't expect my mother to be like your mother. Okay. Like we have to accept people exactly for who they are. And so when we're in these difficult relationships, we, and here's the other thing too, I have a lot of women that are like, my in-laws are non-believers. They just don't like, they don't have the same values as us. And so how do we do that? Well, we can't hold people to a standard that they don't have for themselves. Mm-hmm. And so if they don't have that Christian faith, you know, we're again holding them to an expectation that's just unfair because they mm-hmm. haven't been introduced to him. They don't know Jesus. They don't know God's love for them. And so, but that doesn't mean that we are not called to walk in the ways that God calls us to. And so I think it's taking that personal responsibility for what I can control in this relationship. Another thing that I really encourage women who are listening that are like, I'm in a difficult relationship. I don't really know how to serve them in a way that's God honoring without losing myself. Like, how do I show them that I care or that I am a quote unquote, going back to my book title, loyal,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
their family. How do I write that, like that narrative in our head starts? Well, I think the first point that we need to start with is going to God first on what it looks like to love them. Because if we listen to the world, we're always going to be led astray.
Yes.
And so we can and should return to God for his perfect love. And ask him or the Holy Spirit to guide us in that wisdom and discernment. Because I have found, and one of the scriptures that I go back to time and time again is 1 John 4:18, and it says, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Well, what does that mean? Like, what is Apostle John's, like, what are we talking about here? Mm-hmm. And I think it's because we try to manufacture love. But when we do that, we feel afraid. We feel that fear driving. And that's when we feel that anxiety. That's when we feel that bitterness. That's when we feel, you know, the fruits of the world, right? Mm-hmm. Like discontentment. Yeah. Like our relationships aren't enjoyable. And so if we return to God for what he says is love, and we ask him to love people the way that he loves us, I think that that's what casts out the fear. And so fear is a really big indicator. Like, okay, am I fearing what God, you know, says or needs from me in this? Or am I fearing what people think or need in this? And it'll reveal a lot about, you know, am I loving people in ways that are easy for me, that I can control this, that I'm still needed by them? Or am I letting go and surrendering this to God and really remaining obedient to what he says? And so that fear, that perfect love, that returning to God, I mean, those are all these dialogues that we need to commune with him on in how to love people in the way that he's designed us to.
Yeah, that is everything you just said. I'm like, go back and listen again and take notes, because like, we all need to hear that. And I just love the way that you tie so much biblical truth into such a hard conversation and a hard topic. And you do it with so much grace and mm-hmm. so much love. And I just am so appreciative of you. And I would just mm-hmm. love to know, for the woman, for the mom who is listening and who has really felt like up until this point, she doesn't know how to set boundaries. She can't set boundaries. What would you say to her as she is starting from square one with boundaries in her life? What advice would you give her? What encouragement would you give her? What would you say to her?
So patterns are practiced. Patterns we do over and over and over again. And so if you're not good at setting boundaries, you can actually get well practiced at them and get good at them. And so behaviors or habits, we can unlearn or learn. That's the power of the brain. This mm-hmm. is the gift of yes. our brain. It does take time. It takes energy and resources. It takes, you know, my prayer in the morning is like, Lord, guide me in this, you know, help mm-hmm. me in this, show me where my place is in this, you know, let me, you know, only echo the words that my father says. And so I think that it's knowing, you know, being encouraged that if I learned how to not set boundaries, I can learn to set boundaries. Yeah. If I learned to be codependent or a people pleaser, I can unlearn that. And I think that that is really, it's like stepping in that authority that he's given mm-hmm. us as, you know, in Christ. It's like, okay, I have this authority. It's not going to happen overnight. I can be gracious with myself and patient with myself, but I can ask the Holy Spirit for that counsel in these relationships, and I can start doing things differently. And, you know, one of the things that I feel like is an indicator, and we've kind of touched on it, is, you know, who am I serving in this? Mm-hmm. Am I serving myself? Am I serving my pride? Am I serving my fears around, like, okay, I can't set that boundary because they're not going to invite me to that thing. Or I can't set that boundary because, you know, they're going to be mad. You know, I have a whole section on backlash. Like, what do we do when people don't like it? Like, mm-hmm. that's hard. That's yeah. something that, like, we're not taught growing up. Like, we're not taught how to manage when other people don't like us. And the reality is, there's going to be a lot of people that don't like you. Mm-hmm. And they're not going to agree with your parenting. And they're not going to agree with, you know, homeschooling, and they're not going to agree with where you live or your husband's job or the way you take care of your home or whatever. And so, but codependency and people pleasing is very self-serving. And so I think that, you know, for the woman that's just like, I can't do it, you can. Yeah. You can. And yeah. you can because of the blood of Christ. You can because you have that authority. And now you just have to draw upon it and start using it and start practicing it. And it's as simple and as hard as that.
Yes. As most things are.
Super easy. Yeah. Right? Like getting fit. Just start walking the block. Yeah. Like, okay, that sounds really easy, but it's yeah. really hard.
Yes.
And so, and just, you know, finding the joy in it. Like your podcast, it's like we can find joy in our relationships. Mm-hmm. We can choose joy and peace in difficult seasons. We can look for that silver lining, and we can know that we can trust that God is preparing us mm-hmm. and that he's doing a good work in us that's going to glorify him. And we have to do our part.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would say that the joy in doing this work that is hard work, you know, to set boundaries and to love people well. But the joy comes in leaning into the Spirit and trusting mm-hmm. that he is guiding us and he is guiding you. If you ask for his guidance, he is faithful to give it. And, you know, the Holy Spirit being our ever-present help is not just a cute Pinterest quote. Like, that is, that is the word of God, that he is our ever-present help and he is with us and helping us and walking with us as we navigate this. And we truly are not doing it in our own strength. And we are not out here just trying to figure this all out on our own. Like, we have the helper and friend in him. And so I would just say the joy in all of it comes when we lean on him and when we surrender it to him. And that is how we come to be able to love ourselves and love other people well by setting boundaries. So, Courtney, I'm just so thankful for this conversation today and for you taking time out of your day to talk with us about this because, you know, like I said earlier, a lot of us are in this really pressing and giving and sacrificial season of motherhood. And it is just a season. And as seasons do, they always pass. But I think that learning some of these things now will save us a lot of trouble in the future. And so I'm really thankful for you and the work that you're doing.
It was so nice to chat with you, and thank you for doing the work that you're doing, because I know you're serving a lot of your listeners and your community and your kids. And so thank you.
Yeah. I would love for you to just finish off by letting us know where we can connect with you, how we can learn more from, excuse me, how we can learn more from you, where we can pick up your book. Give us all of your info.
All the things. Yeah. Courtney J. Berg is my social media handle. So Courtney J. Berg, B-U-R-G. That's also my website, CourtneyJBerg.com. And on there is my Discover Your Worth membership. It's super affordable. I say it's like the price of like a Starbucks fancy coffee a month. And I designed it that way because I really want women to be able to access it when they need to. And then the book is available for purchase on there. And it's also available like on Amazon and Target and Barnes and Noble, some of those smaller book stores. And yeah, I think that's it.
Awesome. I'll have everything linked in the description of this episode as well. But again, Courtney, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you, Jenna. You bet. Thanks.
Love and boundaries go hand in hand, and you can't have one without the other. Isn't Courtney just incredible? Hey, I wanted to let you know that her new book, Loyal to a Fault, comes out December 12th. And if you pre-order it, there are some amazing freebies centered around navigating holidays, setting boundaries, and all the things that you're going to want to get your hands on before the release date. So if you're listening to this on the day this episode aired or before December 12th, then you still have time to pre-order Loyal to a Fault and get those freebies. I'll leave the pre-order link in the description below, as well as all the ways that you can get connected with Courtney. Don't forget to pre-order Loyal to a Fault to get all the pre-order freebies. The link is in the description of this episode. If you found value in today's episode, the best way to thank me is by going to Apple Podcasts and leaving a written review. This helps me stay encouraged, but it also pushes this podcast out to more mamas that desperately need to hear about the joy and purpose that is readily available to them. So thank you in advance for being a part of this community and helping me get this message out to as many people as possible. You mean so much to me, and I can't wait to chat with you next week.